you're a therapist listening, you already know your work doesn't magically end when the session does. There's scheduling, notes, billing, insurance follow-ups, all of the admin that happens before and after the work you actually care about. That's where Simple Practice comes in. Simple Practice is an all-in-one EHR built specifically for therapists with HIPAA-compliant tools and high-trust certification. No juggling systems or cutting corners just to keep things moving. Scheduling, documentation, billing, insurance, client communication, even automated appointment reminders, it all lives in one place. And if you're starting or growing a practice, Simple Practice also offers a credentialing service that helps simplify insurance enrollment, which can be a huge lift alone. It's no surprise Simple Practice is trusted by over 250,000 health and wellness professionals. Start with a 7-day free trial, then get 50% off your first 3 months. Go to simplepractice.com to claim the offer. That's simplepractice.com.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mr. Pygmy and the Man Hater Show. I'm your host, Reagan, aka the Man Hater, even though I don't hate men. And this gladiator is...
This is an MF Doom mask.
I thought you were being Maximus.
Yeah, I know. He wore that's so funny. I'm assuming it's a historical thing. This is a great visual break for the audio podcast again.
He's wearing a mask that makes him look like Maximus, which is my favorite movie from Gladiator, but apparently he's Doom.
MF Doom is a rapper.
Oh!
Like from way back when, there was a rapper named MF Doom. He used to always wear this mask. That's a whole separate fun episode to get into. No, it's not an episode. It's just fun talk. But there's a whole reason behind it. But long story short, I was looking for a Dr. Doom mask and that popped up. I was like, I have to print the MF Doom mask. And I wore it to show my wife. I was like, look. And my wife is like a little white girl from the suburbs who never listened to rap music growing up. She was like, is that Marcus Aurelius? Are you like, and so she did the same thing. And aww. I was like, what? MF Doom. And she was like, who's MF Doom?
Yeah, I definitely thought you were Maximus. Yeah.
And so then we Googled it and it is exactly the same mask. So I'm guessing it's historically, that was an actual mask and they use it in the movie, but I didn't watch the movie. And so I've only seen, was it in the first Gladiator? Was it in that?
That was the original Gladiator.
I know
yes.
That's your... Yeah, I've seen that once. I've sat in the theater.
It's so good.
That's it. I know. You've talked
fucked
about it being
me
your
up
favorite.
As a child.
What did I think? I thought it was 300 was...
Yes, you're like, the lesbian likes that? That's weird.
That's what it is, you know?
I thought 300 was stylistic. I used to like Gerard Butler for some reason, but yeah, no, I didn't need the oily...
I'm sure there were probably issues with it. I don't remember.
It was a Zack Snyder film, so.
Yeah.
So. A lot of oiled up.
This is cool though. I printed it out and I'm going to order a strap. I don't know what I'm going to use it for, but I think it's pretty cool.
Well, shout out to Jesco not actively having the 3D printer on today.
It's on.
Is it? Is it really?
It's printing the Dr. Doom mask.
You son of a bitch. You have to stop printing during the show.
You didn't even know.
I don't know yet.
You didn't even know. It's because it's printing a single color print, and that's quieter when I do it that way because it's not switching to the what you always hear is when it's switching colors because it's
also
loud.
Don't
that's loud.
Have my good headphones in right now.
No, I promise you. What you normally hear is when it's switching colors, it does this weird loud like
it goes
noise.
Whoosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I don't think it's a crazy ask that the one day a week we are recording, the one time a week, you are not fucking printing something.
My entire channel is going to be 3D printing.
Please, Jesco, I'm begging you. You can hear it in the audio.
I don't think you, I listened to our podcast last week.
Oh, what a miracle.
The intro
That's
to
only
it.
Because you and, probably were weirded out about the Brown Cruise and you wanted to check.
Yeah, I listened up to that point and I was like, all right, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. It wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad. And not doing that again, though.
We just got to slow it down. It was so fast. Yeah. We just really went through it. Mm-hmm. That's all.
I think even if I had prepped more than 10 minutes before the show began, it probably would have been fine.
God damn it.
So
I can't believe you're 3D printing right now. I'm going to throw a fit for real. I'm going to have a Minty Bee.
My 3D printer has been going constantly since I got it in December. Like, there's been maybe 10 hours where it's not been working. What's the word for when you make something, like, give it human traits?
Personify?
If I was going to do that to it, it would be like, please, let me sleep. I need rest.
I agree. And that rest can come on Wednesdays.
Speaking of more visual humor, I was thinking about getting rid of all of this behind me. Because we're unpacking. We're still unpacking. You know, how long does it take when you move into a new house? Mm-hmm. It's like we moved in 6 months ago. We're still, every once in a while we open. We found some of the art we packed up. And I'm like, I have so many cool, like, paintings from friends or from, like, indie artists that I've bought over the years. I think that would be a much cooler backdrop. Just having, like, all the art of, like, cool art. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you think so?
I'm still mad about the printer.
It's a Dr. Doom mask, Reagan.
For what is the reason? What is the reason you need to be printing these as a recording? Like,
for the same reason that I have a Wolverine mask right here.
To what end, Chesco? To what end?
There's no reason for it. There's no reason why I have so many masks.
What are you talking about?
I also have a Flash mask right there behind me. There's no reason.
I need to do an intervention with you.
I can't stop making them.
You have a printing problem.
I know. But hey, I'm going to make a video about this today because somebody was like, thanks for all the plastic waste, jackass. And I was like, hold on. First off, I want to give a little advocacy right here for myself. I use PLA, which is plant-based.
Okay.
It's different. It is still plastic, but it's a plant-based plastic. And I recycle. I actually pay a stupid amount of money to recycle all of my stuff that goes into there because I felt bad about having a hobby that uses it. And so I pay because it can be composted at an industrial compost site. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find one of those. So I found a place that will recycle all the stuff that I don't use it for. So I'm doing that. And I have my house is solar powered. So it's green powered and it's recycled. I'm recycling everything. So.
Okay. So we've taken care of the environmental impact of it.
Yes.
But the impact on the podcast remains.
That is as a problem. Not to mention the noise from me using a.
literally. He's got freaking.
Have you have ADHD. Yes. Don't you ever hyper-focus on hobbies for a little while?
Of course I do. Of course I do.
This is going to I got 2 months left of this at most before I have like $3,000 invested and it's just sitting in the corner. All right.
Well, we'll just have to hold out until then.
Let's hope for the best. Let's hope it's not an autistic hobby because those go longer.
I can't believe I actually praised you and I was wrong.
You were wrong. That's your fault. That was your mistake for saying something nice about me.
Anyways, hey, Chesco, do you have a topic for today?
I do. Today, we're going to talk about coffee dates. Theme song.
It's time. Mr. Pygmy and Man Hater to talk all the shit. So grab your popcorn, thank me later. Don't want to miss it.
I want to give some clarity here.
Oh God.
This is no, because I think anytime I post a clip from somebody I don't hate, I always have to say, like, just so you guys know. Cause I think even it affects the way people listen to stuff. Like if the expectation is I'm posting a shitty person.
Right.
Even if they're saying something reasonable, you'll see it and be like, fucking shit, this douchebag.
Right.
Thinks we need to recycle our plastic, right? And so this is not a bad – this is from – I was on their podcast, Girls Gotta Eat podcast. Mm-hmm. Actually, really, I think they're very nice people on and off the air. Now somebody's going to say, like, really? Did you not see this?
Yeah.
And there'll be something. I don't know. In my in whatever experience I've had with them, it's been very pleasant. But this is a clip that came up, and I posted in the comments. Mm-hmm. And we had a little back and forth that I thought was positive, but who knows? I've had people that I think argue, they'll be like, man, I think Chesco fucking hates me. And I'm like, I try so I can't say this enough. I don't want to use autism as an excuse, all right? But it's something that I've noticed about myself that it's not that I need to be right, I need to be accurate about stuff, right? And so I will often say something and I'm like, oh, here's this fact. And somebody would be like, fuck you, man. I'm like, what? And they didn't say this. That's not what happened in the comment section here.
Right.
But like I'll say something there have been times I've been going back and forth with somebody like 10 times thinking we're having a really great discussion and then they like block me or something. I'm like,
yeah, I've had
or
that.
They start going off. I'm like, I thought we were just having a good time. But I think they were reading my voice online as like, you, but this is what you, oh,
let's
man,
talk about the
so,
facts.
You're so dumb. And this is where I'm like, oh no, this is a great point. Oh, did you know that? Anyways, so
yes.
I think it's an interesting discussion. You'll see the clip.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I also think it talks to, there is something I disagree with in the clip, and it's something that speaks to a bigger issue that I talk about, not in a cancelable way, and it's in a sense of I think we're allowed to have different opinions about things. You know, reasonable people cannot agree. This is not going to be one of our most serious. This is not a special podcast episode of like where we start a feud with another podcast.
I feel like that is one hell of an intro to this video. Do we want to?
I don't even know why I talk so long. I think because I get nervous talking about people that I don't want to hate me.
let's let it roll, Chesco.
Let's let it roll.
Do it live.
Do it live.
I would never ask a woman who I'm like, wow, like she's gorgeous. She seems really cool. Like I could see some potential here. I would never risk asking her on a coffee date as a first date because you want a man that wants to impress you. Off the bat, right? So if I'm going coffee, that means that I'm unsure if I even find you like attractive, in my opinion, because it's kind of like I need to feel this out. Coffee days, I need to feel this out because I'm unsure if I want to invest more time, energy, money.
I don't know. It communicates to me. You're just not that into
me. I agree.
You know, you're I'll spend $3 on this.
I 100% agree.
I saw women being like, yeah, but I want to do a vibe check. And to your point, yeah, women want to do a vibe check.
Yes.
You kind of want the guy, whether he's right about you or not, you kind of want the guy that's like, I think you're hot and you seem cool from the one time we met or from the app, whatever.
Yep.
Like the women can be like, I want to do a vibe
check.
Fine. But you should want a guy that's excited about you from the jump.
Exactly.
Because women don't grow on men.
Yes.
Men grow on women.
Correct. That's exactly my point. If you as a woman want a vibe check coffee date, I'm okay with that.
100%.
If you want to do that because it makes you feel more comfortable with somebody during the day before you go out at night with a guy for safety reasons, like I'm totally on board with that. But I'm telling you what it means if a guy asks you on a coffee date.
So I don't know who he is. He might be an asshole.
I'm not getting the best vibe from him, but I literally know context.
Yeah, and that's I didn't research him at all. So that's why whenever I don't do the research, I always try also, because there have been times where I'm like, I'm not critiquing this person. It might be a good person. And in the comments, they'll be like, that we've talked about this before. They'll be like, no, you're correct to critique this person. This person is horrible. I don't know who the person is. We're just going, we're talking about what's being discussed in this clip, not necessarily about the people involved in the clip.
I got a problem with this. What this man is saying.
No, I have a huge problem with what he said right here. I think the discussion, I think there's it's fine to have. I have a huge issue with him saying any guy.
Well, from the start, when he said, I'm going to take a woman on a coffee date if I'm not sure I'm attracted to her.
Right.
Like, why are you asking someone on a date if you don't even know if you're attracted? Like, I don't like the idea of like, oh, I just need to feel this. Like, I just need to see if I even like this person. Because to me, now, we already know I'm weird.
with like relationships. Like I don't operate like mm-hmm. I feel like you and I actually operate similarly.
Pretty similarly, it's not yeah. normal.
Yeah. But also, yeah. and I'm, you know, but I dated more men than women, to be fair. Mm-hmm. So maybe I do have room to speak. But mm-hmm. I've never gone on a coffee date with someone and not known if I was attracted to the person.
I guess so, yeah. I guess, yeah, you only went on dates with people that not know.
But I mean that I didn't, like I wasn't in the process of trying yeah. to pursue in some way.
I do think this is something, the only reason I'm kind of handling with this with kid gloves, that's a weird phrase.
I know. I've used it a couple times recently. Yeah, I'm like, oh, why do you have gloves for kids?
Right. Well, the only reason I'm gently handling this yes. topic is I do think it's a discussion that with online dating and stuff like that, where it's like, any date that I've ever been on, mm-hmm. I was certain I wanted to go on a date with this person. Like it was not, I didn't, unless it was a blind date. I went on one blind date once.
That's a good point. If we're saying like, I literally have only ever talked to you online. Mm-hmm. And I don't know you at all. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm doing a coffee date. I wasn't, okay, that makes more sense. I don't know if that's right. what he's referring to. I thought, because I'm thinking of dating in general.
Right.
And
right.
so I'm like, that feels like weird. Mm-hmm. Like, are you even worried? Like, but I still think, regardless of that, like, I do know some people will go like on a coffee date if they just don't know the person. Like, they just right. don't.
Giving benefit of the doubt, I'm hoping that's what he was saying. If I don't know who this person is, it came off really like.
The vibe is bad. Like, the vibe
the
is
The vibe
like,
is very, it starts off very bad. And I think that's why I got a little defensive watching this. I was like, I don't like how this was framed. I don't like how this discussion started.
It's also like, if you're worthy of spending money on, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, red flag. No, no, no. And I think yeah. I think saying from the jump, this is clearly a very heteronormative conversation.
100%.
I think it's fair to just say, because these conversations happen all mm-hmm. the time. And I personally am not thinking in a heteronormative way. So when I hear men being like, yeah, right. I got to see if you're worth spending money on, I'm like, ooh.
And I will ooh. Say, and that's the thing. It's like just from off the jump. No, that's not every man, because I never weighed a date that way. I never once, ever.
Right.
Did I think, like, how much money is this date worth spending money on?
Yeah.
Right? It was my 100% through my entire dating period of, like, and I was broke as shit, right? So it was like, I probably should have been thinking more about, like, okay, what can I budget
how do
for?
I do this?
I was always just like, what's the best way to set us up to have a great time? Like, what are we going to do to where we can get to know each other or have a good experience with each other? That was always the goal, never a how much is it going to cost me.
I think I would much prefer to go on a cheap date with mm-hmm. someone who was really enjoying spending time with me, then go on an expensive date with a person who's like, oh, you're worthy of me putting money down. Mm-hmm. Your potential value is worth this expense. Like, I would rather mm-hmm. be with someone who doesn't think that way mm-hmm. because it's that ideology to me is alarming. It screams transactional to me, mm-hmm. which is that, like, are you worthy of this amount? Because, like, dude, right. one dinner, like, I can't imagine being in that position mentally. It definitely gives me, like, I'm not saying he's a red pillar, but that's the vibe to me because right. that's what they talk about all the time. But it's like, I fucking love treating people. Like, I treat my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, if I will pay, mm-hmm. if I can, I'll pay for people's dinners, drinks. Like, I really enjoy it because I enjoy doing that for people. That, like, it blows my mind. Like, and I do it on dates. Like, I did it with men. I paid for men right. all the time. Like, I had no problem with it. And it's like, to me, having the mindset going in of like mm-hmm. weighing out, like, oh, well, right. if I'm going to pay, it's like, then don't fucking pay for it. Like,
but I think that's, you're hitting on the nuance there. Because in a sense, we're, in a lot of ways, we're arguing against coffee dates right now by saying that, by like, you know, you shouldn't just like go the cheapest route, right? Like, in a sense,
well, it should
that, like,
be on your mind.
But that's the point. It's not a, I don't think it's as simple as saying, oh, he asked me on this date. That must mean
right.
he doesn't value. Now, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of young men hearing guys saying this and giving the advice mm-hmm. of take her on a cheap date because you don't know if she actually likes you. You don't know what she's into you. All this other stupid stuff. Like, I was always – I actually fully, personally, would, like, if I, like, when I was started working and started dating, right? But like, when I was broke, it was different. I had to be like, what's the cheapest, coolest thing I can find that I can afford? Because I didn't have any money. When I started actually having money and I was dating, I always was all about, you know, paying for everything and doing, like, my personal way of dating was like, oh, we're going out for dinner or drinks? I'm paying for dinner or drinks. I asked you out, you know, as opposed to two friends meeting up. Mm-hmm. We can each pay for our own way. But even now, even when I go out with friends, I like treating people when I'm available to or I'm allowed to do that. The thing I always take issue with these conversations, and this is across the board, and something I try not to do with my own content ever, is when we turn an entire gender into one person.
Sure.
Right? All men are, if they are doing this, they don't find you attractive. They don't think you're blah, blah, blah. Versus like because the reality is, I know, depending on where they're getting their information from, like I did a poll, and I brought, this is what the discussion, the conversation was. I did a poll on my page. This is like 2 years ago. Where first I said, like, what are your ideal first dates? And I took the most common ones. It was like coffee, going for a walk, movies, dinner, et cetera, like all the different kind of things. And I put it on a actual voting thing. Mm-hmm. And by far, it was like probably my second most like active poll I've ever done. It was like 40,000 people voted in it, and 60% said their ideal first date is coffee. And it's mostly women that were answering it. And so I brought that up. And they said, well, they did their own poll of their audience of mainly women, and the number one thing was drinks, was followed by coffee. I was like, coffee's a drink. In my mind, I'm like, I think I kind of look at them both at the same. I think going out for a drink or going out for, not to get drunk, but like going out to some, like a nice place that has a mojito or whatever. I don't know what the young people are drinking nowadays.
I don't like alcohol. I don't know.
Yeah, in my mind, though, that's the exact same. It's a low stakes, low cost. One drink is not that expensive. So I don't understand. But there were people in the audience in the comment section saying drinks is different than coffee. Whereas in my mind, that's the same category. Going for a drink is basically the same thing as going for a coffee.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
I think the vibe is different with drinks than coffee. The environment is different. Mm-hmm. I think usually drinks has a little more like a playful vibe, whereas coffee, I feel like you're getting into deeper conversations.
But the argument against coffee was the cost, though. It was like, oh it's
yes,
cheap.
Yes. And well, I guess it depends on where you're getting coffee. Because drinks can be more expensive. But I have a problem with the premise of this whole thing and like the underlying issue that like the two – like the podcast host and him are just accepting, like the idea of like, I'm measuring your value monetarily. Like how much is this worth to me? Like, are you worth, because the price isn't, I know maybe this dude is taking women on outlandish dinners to really fancy restaurants and is dropping $200 on a first date. I don't know what he's doing. I feel like thinking like that is so fucking bizarre. Like, shouldn't you just be like, oh, I just want to spend time with them and like I'm willing to pay for it, or like pay for it or not pay for it. It's just like this idea of, well, are you even worth it? Like, God, if you don't, what? If you don't date me, if you don't sleep with me, if we don't, but what's the value of spending time with them? Like, it's just weird to me. I would never think like, unless the person is abhorrent and you're like, oh my God, I hope I never see them again. I've wasted my night with a horrible person. It's like, okay, so what was the value in like hanging with them or meeting with them? I think it's weird.
My perspective is always like, you can set whatever standard for yourself that you want. Sure. Like, if you're like, I only want to go on dates with a guy that's going to take me to a $500 restaurant and send me a car If that's what you want, that is, you're allowed to have that as long as you're not lying and manipulating and doing that. Mm-hmm. But once again, saying every woman is going to want it, because I know many women that if I tried like sending like a nice car to pick you up and take you to this thing, like, they'd be like, fuck you, dude. Because it feels like manipulation. It feels like, oh, is he trying to get, like, what is he going to expect out of this? Mm-hmm. Am I going to then have to figure out a way to escape if I don't want to like go back to his place?
Control.
Right. And so you are allowed to want for yourself whatever you personally decide is what you value. Everyone can value. And the same thing, even guys, pisses me off when they're like, well, I'm not allowed to have standards, I'm not allowed to have preferences.
Of course you are.
It's like, no, of course, everybody has preferences. Just don't be a dick about it. You know, like if I ask you out on a coffee date and that's not your vibe, just be like, you know, I don't think it's going to work. You know, I appreciate you asking me, move on. As opposed to, you broke motherfucker. You think I'm going to go on a date with you, you piece of shit? You know, like, that's me. Don't do that to me. I'm sorry. Because also, I'm appreciative of someone not going on a date with me as a broke guy, because I'm still going to be a broke guy tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not broke anymore, but like back in, like, I always talk about in college, I used to go out. Like, I remember, like, I was at one point, I went on a date with a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I went on a date with like people that were like working in real jobs. And I was very honest. I'm like, look, I can't wine and dine you. Mm-hmm. You got to be here for this. And if this isn't enough, like if what I'm giving you right now is not enough, you're not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I was always honest about it. I'm not going to create this mirage of a person. And I appreciate it if they're like, you know what? I'm looking for someone that's more on my level right now, more in their career, more whatever that. Beautiful. Let me go find somebody else that isn't. In looking for that isn't in quote unquote need of that, or doesn't have that preference. Like, it's all about honesty. Just be honest about who you are and what you want. And you're going to end up in a much better situation with someone who actually likes you.
Yeah.
As opposed to dating somebody, like if we keep on all dating and pretending to be all these other things, then eventually when they meet the real you, you're starting from scratch again. Right. And it's like, what's the point of that? Why? And maybe, I don't know if I've been being too pragmatic about it, but that's how I approach dating always. Like, I never, like, people always laugh. Like, I had one, aside from my wife, who I've been with now for 17 years, you know, 15 years married and 17 years total, my second longest relationship was 6 months. My third longest was 2 weeks. Because I was like, you know what? Why am I going to like lead you on and like turn this into something? This is clearly, hey, let's just be fair. And it's also one of the reasons why I'm genuinely on good terms with every single person I've ever dated. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never had a single bitter, angry kind of blow up thing. Because usually people always blame the women for it, but it is usually the guy's fault in my experience, just because I've never had that happen. But it's like I'm friendly with all of them in the sense that, you know, we're not hanging out or talking on the phone, but like, I don't have any negative experience with that because I never manipulated them. I never got to a point where it was like, where I led them to think it was something more than it was. We were like, all right, we dated for a little while. You know what? Let's move. Why waste either of our time? Let's move on. And everyone has always been appreciative of that.
Yeah, I think like the game playing, it's very confusing to me. The whole thing is very confusing to me because it's like, I love coffee dates. I have loved coffee dates because like, I feel like you really get to know a person. You actually get to talk. You get to really see them. A bar usually is loud. Like, alcohol is usually involved unless you're getting like non-alcoholic drinks. There, you might think you have more chemistry than you actually do if you're drinking versus like a coffee date, you kind of know. Like, I feel like you really get to know the person. And so I just think it's very strange to like, one, be anti-coffee date, because I think I love a coffee date. I just love coffee in general. I also don't like alcohol, so that I'm maybe swaying me a little bit why I wasn't like a big fan of getting drinks. Right. But it's weird to me how like we're just very accepting of like the degrading of like how much someone values you, like that being their mentality. Like, I think that's very true. I think if someone puts low effort into a date, making you feel special, I think that's different. I think a lot of assholes like on the first date will try and schmooze you and spend a lot of money. But like making it a man versus woman thing, I think is super strange. And like, I do understand that a lot of women have the opinion of like, I'm the one at risk here, so you should pay for me. And I get that mm-hmm. side of it. I think the side from men being like, how much I value you is what I'm spending on you. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that is such a red flag. And I wish we would stop acting like that's normal. Like that's, mm-hmm. it's weird to think about dating that way. Like, I don't like the idea of co-signing that and be like, oh yeah, if a guy, he must not like me if he takes me on a coffee date. It's like, cause the opposite is not necessarily true either. Mm-hmm. If a guy spends a lot mm-hmm. of money on you, it doesn't mean he actually really likes you.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. It just means he has more money.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I'm just uh-huh. like, I would like to know that upfront. Like I'm like, mm-hmm. if a guy be like, I'm spending this much money on you because I think you're worth my time. Mm-hmm. I would not like that guy then because I'd be like, right. that's how you see things. That's how you see women mm-hmm. in time with women is like an exchange where I want to make sure my money's being well spent. Like, I already don't like you. Like, if mm-hmm. you are upfront, even if you're saying, I think you are worthy, I have no interest because I don't like that you see romantic interactions as like monetary.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's one of the few reasons, one of the very few things I agree on relationship wise with Scott Galloway is the
no! whole,
yeah, I know. There's actually one of the, I've said before, like this, I got in trouble because in my one clip, I was like, I agree with Scott on a lot of things. I disagree with him on about a quarter of them. And that quarter is really insidious and terrible. Right. And people are like, this is what Democrats always lose because they just have these purity tests. I'm like, if the purity test, if the thing I'm disagreeing on is like women are objects.
Sorry. Then that's
a pretty big thing. It's not like we disagree on pineapple on pizza.
Right.
Anyways, but it's the whole get off the apps, like telling people to get off mm-hmm. Of the dating apps. Because like there was a guy on Threads and he was like, hey, I'm in my 30s. It was not about dating. He was like, how do you make friends as an adult? Like, what do you do? It's just a difficult thing. And I answered him truthfully. I was like, every friend I've made as an adult has been a result of some sort of shared activity,
yeah.
like real life activity. It's been when I was doing slam poetry, mm-hmm. met a lot of poets. When I was doing theater, met a lot of theater people. Right now, I just did an improv thing, mm-hmm. met a lot of my improv friends, right? Like social media I was doing. I met social media people.
Right.
And so like all of my social circles like are not really connected. There's all these mm-hmm. like kind of separate, but like it's from doing stuff with them. And if I was still a single guy, there have been plenty of opportunities where like people that I would have met in those situations would have been like, hey, do you want to go on a date sometime? Do you want to get a drink sometime? Do you want to get coffee sometime? But I think that's so much more because then also like you – it's not this like flip of the coin like I hope I like them. It's right. like, oh, we've already been interacting for 2 weeks playing Dungeons and Dragons together, mm-hmm. right? Or whatever it is you want to do that you met them with. And now that date isn't this whole like awkward
right.
first weird thing. It's an extension. It's like, oh, I already know I like this person. Let me, now I do want to put all that effort into it because it's not this like weird situation of that these apps are creating. Because I really, really do think the best thing for any young person is to, what are you, find something you're interested in and go do that thing mm-hmm. with no expectation of finding someone to date there, just to enjoy it and meet people and interact. But they get pressed so hard. And it's one of the underlying themes in the manosphere that I hate is like the whole idea that women are only there for like sexual conquest,
right.
the only purpose they can serve. Worst case scenario, even if you're single, is you might get a new friend.
That's what I'm saying. Like there's mm-hmm. there should be value beyond the date, like the idea of like, yeah, well, mm-hmm. you're only worth a coffee right now. That's mm-hmm. all you're worth to me in this moment. Like, I just think that's a fucked up way of thinking. I mm-hmm. feel like that's a misogynistic way of thinking.
One thing I was talking to somebody about, and it's always framed as like the worst, because I even said worst case scenario mm-hmm. of is that you end up becoming friends.
God forbid.
Like, God forbid. But it's like, I was thinking about it, and I was like, it's because I've even fallen into that mindset where it just becomes obvious, like, oh, man, I guess this is going to work out. We're right. just going to be friends. But, like, how – like, the people I'm friends with, those are way longer relationships than anything romantic mm-hmm. that have been said so much more value, aside from my wife, who is, you know, like, that's – aside from that, like, there's no relationship I've ever been in that had as much value as even, like, an average friendship. So right. – the worst case scenario of you getting a good friend.
Right.
What a fucking prize. Like, that's so great. I don't understand why we look at that as such a bad thing.
I think it's fair to be disappointed if you're looking for a romantic connection and you don't find one. But again, like the premise of this argument is a friendship is not worth a $6 like it's not worth more than a $6 coffee to you. Mm-hmm. A friendship with a woman, it has been a waste of your time. Right. You're not willing to spend, like, if you spent the price of a dinner on a woman would be too much. Like, that's, we're not even talking about, like, disappointment versus, we're saying, like, that's how little value it has in that moment. Like, and that's a weird, like, I think it is, to your point, this, like, dating culture where it's like, well, you know, I'm doing this many dates. If I buy dinner for every date, then I'm spending way too much money. So I got to, it's like, you are making it so, like, it's become such, like, a, like a mechanical process where it's like, I have this much, I have to spend X money. So I'm going on this many dates. It's like, it's lost like the personal touch. It's lost like enjoying the moment. I hate the way that it turns dating, like for men, it's like they're constantly thinking about the next date or getting to the next person, or it's a waste of time if the date doesn't go well. And like, rather than really connecting with women, like, I feel like we're not actually connecting with people.
I think you hit on a really important point right there too. I think it's, they are using the date to get to the thing that they eventually like.
Right.
Versus like every date I ever went on, like in my entire life, I planned the date because it was a fun thing to do. Like, it was like, we did this activity together. We went to this cool restaurant. We had a great conversation. We did whatever it is. We went to this show together. And like, at the end of the day, even if it didn't work out, I was like, that was a great night.
Yeah.
I had a really fun night.
It's not a screening process.
Yeah, it was not. But if you're looking, if you're approaching the entire date as like, oh, fuck, I got to hang out with this shitty person I hate. In order to find out if I can have sex with them later, like, but that's kind of what the underlying theme of it feels like. Because there was somebody in the comments that said like, I went for coffee and we were there for 2 hours. Can you fucking believe that? And they were like, oh, so we can get 2 hours of free therapy. And I was like, what if you just really enjoyed? I was like, is that what people have been thinking about? Because I've got on dates that were like 2 hour coffee dates, and it was just wow. That we really hit it off as friends.
Right.
This is great. And I'm still friends with those people. Like there's plenty of dates. Like literally, I used to go on this. I told you, I used to like know pretty quickly whether somebody was making fun of Love on the Spectrum, how after the single date, they're like, so are we, is this going to work out or not? And they're like immediately like, no.
I know. And then they go, okay.
Okay. But that's kind of how I was, where I was like, eh, this is going to work out. But I have several people that I'm friends with to this day, like good friends with, that it started off as like, hey, you want to go on a date? And it was like, and nothing, we never kissed. There was nothing romantic ever happened, but we're hanging out and we're like, oh no, this is, we're just like buddies. This is,
we're
this
friends,
is
great. I think.
This is like, I think this is like what we should be. And then we, and so nothing ever happened. Nothing ever moves on from that. And that's what our relationship always was. But I think it all comes down to how you view, do you view the other person as a full human being that is capable, or are they only a tool?
So I wanted to bring this up because I just was rewatching it to make sure I got it correctly, because I don't want to misquote. But one of the hosts says, and this is agreed upon by everyone seemingly, is they said, well, you know, men grow on women and women don't grow on men. I'm like, wait, red flag. What the hell does that mean?
There's some really good research on relationship research that actually backs up that point. So depending on how she's saying it, the way I heard it, at least from the research on it, is that for the most part, men pretty much decide from the get-go whether or not they're sexually attracted to somebody, versus there's a lot of research that's specifically for women that shows that when they have known someone for a period of time and they get to know them a bit better, that they rate them as more attractive. So I don't know if that's what she's getting at there. Maybe I'm giving too much credit.
It could be that. I just think there's like a misogynistic spin to that idea, which is like, that men just know right away, which then can often dictate them treating women shittily. Like,
well, I think that's why there's a lot of shitty men. I guess maybe my perspective is skewed, and I'm like, I read that study. I'm like, yeah, guys are pretty fucking shitty.
But it's like that happens. I feel like there's something weird about like a lot of women are not attracted to men, and then eventually like end up dating them. And like you don't see that in the reverse. And I feel like some of that is there is pressure on mm-hmm. women to, this is just my opinion.
Sure.
I think there is pressure on women to give a guy a chance and like
yeah.
to, if someone consistently keeps approaching them, to give them a try and maybe they're missing something. Mm-hmm. Whereas like I have been a part of those conversations, not with me, mm-hmm. but I was not saying this, but like where women will pressure other women, like, but he's really, you know, he mm-hmm. is kind of nice and like maybe it'll grow. And I have not seen the opposite of that. I haven't seen.
It's very rare.
Guys be like, just yeah. give her a chance, just man.
Give her a shot, man. Yeah, no, everything you're saying is spot on. I think the way I've always interpreted, and maybe, that's why I like talking to you, because it's important to like, I get caught. I'm like, no, this makes complete sense. Because we've talked about this before. Like I've been attracted to people that if I saw a picture of them in a book, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't think I'm sure. like, I'm not, they're not, but like they do something like they're in Speech and Debate, it happened all the time where mm-hmm. like they were, like, I saw them perform and I'm like, you are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. Or see, like I dated a basketball player. Like she was the captain of the girls' basketball team in college. Like I saw her play, but I'm like, she's really fucking good at that. Like it's the thing. I get so attracted to yeah. like talent, like to somebody doing something.
But that's the personhood aspect, right?
I know.
That is them yeah. as a, because you see them as a person, you get to know them right. as a person. The depth of who they are can become attractive mm-hmm. to you. I think we need to be more critical of blanket statements made like that.
100% agreed.
Because
agreed
like,
on that. Yeah.
I don't believe inherently just by being born a man or right. a woman should dictate whether or not you can grow more attracted to someone.
Right.
I think you're it right. is very much that women are asked yeah. to see past initial attraction, yeah. whereas men, I don't believe, in my experience from mm-hmm. talking to, I do have men that I'm friends mm-hmm. with. Shockingly, mm-hmm. I really get along with men, but I have not seen that in amongst men, them saying the same thing.
Part of it is this patriarchal, misogynist structural aspect of our society mm-hmm. where there's these, and this is, I disagree with this perspective. I never see the partner of a man and I'm like, oh, this must be a shitty dude, right? Or this must be his girlfriend's really attractive. Mm. He must be awesome.
Right.
Right. I've never seen the person they're with, like physically wise, especially, mm-hmm. and like had any sort of like view of who this person is.
Right.
I mean, I've seen a lot of really amazing women that mm-hmm. I'm like, that with really shitty dudes. And that sure. has been very perplexing to me. But like, I guess the point I'm making is, I think, what is the point I'm making?
You're talking about attractive men with
a misogynist society. I think there is this weird pressure. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things I fight against, that tells men that they have to date somebody to impress other men mm-hmm. versus where there isn't that. There is still that. I think it's a different type of pressure for women in that regard. I think the pressure on women is to date someone that doesn't look like a failure, that doesn't look like, and that's all of that is because of this patriarchal structure of men's job mm-hmm. is to provide and protect, and women's job is to make babies, right? For
yes. Well, you just saying that had a light bulb, because I was going to bring up like how often, like if men are attracted to women, but they don't meet their like mm-hmm. whatever it is, maybe they're not attractive enough or whatever, they mm-hmm. will just date them like on the DL, kind of. Not on the DL as in on the DL, but like
right.
they'll just hook up with them in private, or they'll date them but not say they're their girlfriend. Whereas mm-hmm. like a lot of times you do see women actively like trying to see mm-hmm. past that. But then you just saying like, oh, you date people to prove to other people, like you mm-hmm. men date women to get validation from other men. I'm like, oh, exactly. Because it's like mm-hmm. men who do like have attraction to women, like who have fostered an attraction beyond the initial looks, then mm-hmm. don't want to be public with that relationship because it doesn't pass the guy test or whatever. Mm-hmm. Versus women will kind of, they are more open about it. And I think that's mm-hmm. very interesting, because it's like, I think men do want to like have their cake and eat it too in that sense, without mm-hmm. losing like the boys who are going right. to say, oh, she's not attractive enough. That happens. I have had so many women talk to me, especially online, about like men refusing to date them in public. I have known women. Now, mm-hmm. to be fair, I definitely objected to these relationships, but like mm-hmm. they, like in friend groups, they would be secretly kind of hooking up and dating, basically, like just dating, but they mm-hmm. would not want to admit they were dating this girl. And so mm-hmm. it would be like,
Because they're afraid. They care less about their own happiness than they care about impressing their friends.
They want, yeah, they wanted to have the relationship without having to claim the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I do think a lot of that is like how it looks to other men, because like you're seeing the same dynamic of like getting to know someone on a deeper level and being attracted to them. But, you know, in women's case, it's like they're taught like you should give men a chance. You should push past, like you should let attraction grow, versus a lot of men are taught like, oh, if she's not hot, like you shouldn't be dating her. You shouldn't be around her. She should just be, you know, whatever.
Right. So I think to give benefit of the doubt to Ashley, I think that's who it was that said that. I think it's more, that is an observation about how society functions.
But
I do agree. I think a fair critique is like, that's not okay.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that like, I don't think it's inherent to being a man or a woman. Yeah. I think
there's no gender essentialist aspect of that. We're not biologically created to where women are able to see past the surface level things.
I think it's societal, and I think ignoring.
Conditioned,
I think because that's what happens a lot with these dating things. Like why we critique them half the time is because they'll make these like statements, which maybe sometimes at face value aren't even untrue necessarily, but you're not diving deep as to why that is and if that's healthy and if that's okay. Because to me, just flat out saying that women, you know, women's attraction should grow and men's it can just stop. It's like, but why is that happening? And what in society is causing that to happen? And like, yeah, I mean, there's so many people I know that end up with people that they, like women that end up with people that maybe they weren't even initially attracted to. And I just don't see that as much on the men's side.
I think as human beings, we're all capable of doing what I taught, of being attracted to the person that's talented, that's being smart or funny or whatever it is. But once again, it's what, and this is why we need to break out of this paradigm of men feeling such this weird, it's the whole alpha bullshit, like repackaged, like where, oh, I need to show that I am the most impressive man to other men. And so they end up like, only going after someone that they don't even think is someone who they don't even find attractive necessarily, but they know meets the criteria that their friend group has established as what the top person should be dating.
Right.
Right. And so, and it's so, you think about how much happier the world would be if people were able to just kind of get past that. And that's easier said than done. It's hard to undo a lifetime of conditioning. You know, and it goes back to the, and one of the reasons I even responded to the coffee date thing. It's like, if the norm ends up being any guy that asks you on a coffee date thinks you're ugly, you know, thinks you're not valuable, then you might end up missing out on a date with like a wonderful person who just, he saw a video saying, oh, as a woman, I like coffee dates for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to respect the wishes of women and ask out for a coffee date. I think we need to stop generalizing across the idea that we are doing it. And part of, I think a big part of the problem is that you have, once again, the manosphere pushing these things. And so it's not like these opinions that I think this podcast was espousing are based on out of thin air.
Right.
It's,
sure.
It's they're seeing men who are purposely told only take her out for coffee. Don't do blah, 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 do this, et cetera. And so, and especially if you're only dating online and getting these sort of things where, because obviously if you're dating through the apps, like a lot of those people are more chronically online and looking for advice and doing sort of things, you're probably going to interact with a lot more guys doing that sort of stuff. And so it's like, it's I think our major point is that we need to stop trying to overgeneralize everything.
Yeah.
As meaning, oh, there's only one meaning, there's only one truth. You're absolutely allowed to have preferences, you're allowed to have standards for yourself, you're allowed to do those sort of things. It's just be aware that if your preference is the guy has to take you to, I don't know, what's an expensive restaurant? I don't do Nobu. Is that like an expensive place?
I think it is, actually.
He has to go to Nobu for your first date. That's beautiful. There is nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But be aware that you might be missing out on someone that is that is like literally your dream person mm-hmm. that just might not be able to do that. And that's fine. I think it's such a hard conversation to have mm-hmm. because it's like, this is not me saying lower your standards. It's understand why your standards exist.
I also think it's understanding that like why these men are like, the intention of these men is really important because like, I think everyone needs to just, and you talked about this earlier, like be upfront mm-hmm. about why they're doing stuff. Like if mm-hmm. you are like, and I wholeheartedly support if you're like, I'm taking a risk here and this is mm-hmm. this is my boundary and my expectation on mm-hmm. a date. I think that's perfect. I think it's great, honestly, because mm-hmm. it's upfront. And that's what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. It needs to be upfront. And I think women are upfront. Like now more than ever, you see women be like, I'm not mm-hmm. doing a coffee date. That's fine. Right. That guy should say, if I'm taking you on a coffee date, it's because I don't know. I'm mm-hmm. not sure about you. Or I don't want to spend too much money on somebody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like these dudes are so transactional about these relationships. Mm-hmm. And like, there are so many things I would want to know up front. Like, if you think like mm-hmm. that, I would want to know that up front. And like, I guess understanding that just because a man takes you on like a nice fancy date, like, doesn't also mean that he's going to treat you well either. Mm-hmm. And like mm-hmm. a lot of these men are now being programmed this way, which is like, mm-hmm. if you want to show you care, take her on this date. If you're not sure about it, take her on a coffee date. It's like, this is so ass backwards. You like, I wish we could just take out this weird programming that we're telling men, because it's like, you actually don't know. Like mm-hmm. you can say it is high effort to take someone on a really nice date. Like absolutely. And it is like coffee dates can be low effort. Like,
right.
And it depends on how are they behaving on the date. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they doing? Because like, someone could take you on to a really nice dinner and not speak to you. You mm-hmm. know, like not care about your life. Versus, mm-hmm. and I guess then you say, well, I got a nice meal at least. Versus mm-hmm. a coffee date, if it goes horrible, you're like, that shit sucked. So mm-hmm. I get the value and everything, but it's like there's so much nuance to this conversation that I think, yeah, to your point, generalizing it. Is a little detrimental. I don't envy anyone dating because, like, I can't survive thinking like this. Like, coffee date, this man thinks I'm not worth it. Like,
the thing is, we are there while we're acknowledging there is a difference nowadays with the current dating era mm-hmm. that we are not a part of.
We have no idea.
But a lot of these rules, it's like those rules existed. I remember when I was 19 being told, wait 3 days. Before you call her back, you got her number. You cannot call before that point. When you call, you have to do X. I remember like all these sort of like things that were there. Okay, when the first thing you got to do when you meet her, you have to approach her. Like everyone had all the advice that's happening right now is just repackaged like pickup artist shit from the 90s and early 2000s. It's just a new version of it for the new era that was there. But those rules were always there. And the best thing that ever happened to me was that I was undiagnosed autistic and I was so bad at the games. Like I was just fucking open. I was like, oh man, I really fucking like with my wife is a perfect example. Of the reason we moved, I think, so quickly through our – I mean, we were friends before him. Another example, we took a theater class together. We had shared interests. We mm-hmm. Did that. But, like, we started dating, and, like, I wasn't love – like, people think now – I remember somebody was, like, describing love bombing. I was like, that sounds exactly what I did with my wife. But it wasn't – it was, like – but love bombing is a strategy to, like, manipulate. It's different from, like – genuinely liking somebody mm-hmm. and wanting to spend time with them. Like I mentioned before, she was playing Thoroughly Modern Millie right when we started dating. And I went to 30 of the 30, like two shows that were there because I was like, this is great. We can't go on dates because you're in a show right now because that's the time we have to go on dates. Mm-hmm. So I get to go watch you perform and then we get to talk for 30 minutes afterwards in the parking lot. And that's what we're doing right now for the next month.
Yeah.
But like, or sort of like bringing flowers to somebody. I remember mm-hmm. somebody was like, don't ever bring flowers. I remember I brought flowers to a date and she was like, what the fuck do I do with this?
Oh, which my.
Is like, there is a valid point to, I think, if you're meeting someone
literally,
at
where
the
does
restaurant.
It go? Yeah.
Or we're going for a walk. I guess I'm carrying this. So there is something to be said about, once again, thinking about what you're doing. But also, like, mm-hmm. the idea, though, that if that's how you really – if that's what you – the way you want to show affection is by bringing them some flowers. You're like, I really want to show that I heard her talk about her favorite flowers, and mm-hmm. I want to go bring that to her. If she really likes you, genuinely likes you, she's going to be like – that is so fucking nice that you thought about bringing this to me right. versus if she doesn't, like, if she takes it, like, the fuck is your problem? Why are you bringing me flowers? It's probably not going to work out because it's going to keep happening. Yeah. She probably doesn't like you.
Why are you in my house?
How often the things that seem like really, like things that annoy you about somebody, mm-hmm. then you're dating someone that does the exact thing and you're like, that's so cute when I do
that.
I love
when you do that.
I just love when you do that.
Yeah.
It all comes down to it. Just be yourself and.
Yeah. I think we're really training people to look for the wrong things. Like I fear, again, like I totally get like safety, like why people do like coffee dates. I get monetarily mm-hmm. in the sense of how much effort are you putting in. I do understand the concepts that why people may think this way, but like, I feel like if you're choose like deciding the value of a date based on these things, I don't know that you're looking at the right things. Like I said, what I took from that conversation had nothing to do with which is the right date, but was like, ooh, this mm-hmm. guy thinks that like a date with a woman, mm-hmm. if he spends $6 or $20 is too much, that he's wasted. Mm-hmm. That's what I took mm-hmm. away. Like, I think we need to be looking at the quality of the character of people. I mm-hmm. understand like having some boundaries or rules is helpful, but I'm like, that's not going to be the end all be all of whether that person likes you. Like, you could go mm-hmm. on a great coffee date where you can really get to know a guy and you can go on a shit great dinner. You know what I mean? It's like,
to Nobu.
To Nobu, that very fancy place Chesto knows. But it's like, I fear that like, if that's what you're, how you're seeing it in your head, like, I don't know that you're protecting yourself that well. Like, I think it should really matter, like, how they talk to you. What are they saying? Like, what do their values appear to be? It's like, what are they saying to you? Like, looking for the right red flags. To me, like, those flags being the predominant ones and saying, like, oh, this guy's not interested in you at all if he does that. Like, I don't know that that's accurate.
Also, just some life advice for any young man listening. Maybe if your perspective is that you're only going to take someone to a coffee date when you don't really like them or don't know if you like them, maybe don't publicly tell people that on a show with millions of followers. Because now anytime you ask somebody out on a coffee date,
start your podcast. They're like,
fuck you, you asshole. On this viral clip, I was like, probably not best to say that.
Yeah, there's definitely a callousness to the way that was being stated that I'm like, oh God, I hope nobody listening went on a coffee date with you.
Yeah, I know, because that's exact. I thought the same thing. I was like, oh man, I overthink everything all the time, and like I always think there have been stories I've shared. I'm like, I hope I didn't make that person sound bad. Like if they hear that, like I don't want them to like feel like shit, because it wasn't my intention for like an old story or something from like 20 years ago where I'm like, I didn't mean for them to sound so shitty, but I guess they were kind of a shitty person for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, if someone did something shitty, then you're not making them sound shitty by telling the truth about their actions. Right. They're just shitty. Right. So I think that's different than like if you were trying to skew a story a certain way. But yeah, I just don't like anybody that's talking about mm-hmm. women that way. You know, like that doesn't give me a good feeling about how they mm-hmm. view women. It to be so like, well, if I don't know if there's an attraction yet, like I don't want to waste my money. I'm just like, ooh.
I genuinely felt like this was, because there's been a lot of viral videos mm-hmm. talking about this topic over the, 100%. Over the like, past couple years. And it's always like, if he, you know, don't let him take you on a coffee date. Don't let him. It's always value, and it's men and women. Like it's both them saying the same kind of thing. And I feel like this is like an example, internalizing all those videos and being like, hey, this is how I'm going to make myself look good.
Right.
By saying like, look, I get it. Yeah. Those are shitty. I would never do that. I'm only doing X, Y, and Z. And so like it could have, this is once again, even the benefit of the doubt. Who knows who this person is? Mm-hmm. He might be great. He might not be. But I think it feels like, and that's I think part of the issue that comes from when these talking points go viral consistently mm-hmm. is that it becomes internalized, and so you see guys that going on dates and doing this sort of stuff, thinking, oh, this is the way to do it. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is how it's supposed to be done. Even if they don't agree with it, even if they don't understand it, even if they don't have any purpose for doing it, and then it becomes normalized. And now something that even though like my personal audience, 60% said that their ideal first date is a coffee date. Now, even that none of them are getting their ideal first date because right. they're afraid of even admitting it because they don't want a guy then to – because then they're going to think, oh, well, the thing I want is now being done because they don't like me. And so no one's getting what they want out of it right. because we're normalizing everything.
Like when I pay for something for somebody else, it's because I want to do something nice for that person. And so now it's like – It just makes me wonder, like, have we strayed from the original intention so far, or was the original intention not that? I guess he's assuming he's paying for this stuff because he's talking mm-hmm. about the expense. So it's like, okay, I'll do a coffee date because I'm going to pay for her, but I don't want to pay too much because I don't know if she has mm-hmm. value to me yet. So then let's just do coffee first. And then it's like, mm-hmm. this should have started by trying to do something nice for someone. And now you're so fixated on this thing that's supposed to be a nice thing that you're like, well, I might actually, I don't know if she's worthy of the nice thing. I'm like, now mm-hmm. you're getting into asshole territory. Like now, mm-hmm. now we've strayed so far from like wanting yeah. to treat someone, kind of loses sight of the goodness of it. You're just mm-hmm. paying because I don't know. I just am like, I wish you mm-hmm. would pay for a woman because you want to like because mm-hmm. you want to treat her because you like their a date with someone. I get sad that it's to this point.
It's bled out to like other areas too, where like mm-hmm. I love buying things for people, and like now I'm in a yeah. good place financially right now. And like I want every time I'm out with like friends, I'm like, can I like I'm like, and it feels so weird. Like people are always like, What are you trying to say? I'm like, I don't know that I like you. I just like yeah. it. Makes me feel good to mm-hmm. be able to do this for you. I really enjoyed our time tonight. Can I just pay for dinner? And like in the future, maybe you'll pay for dinner. Who knows? Maybe 100%. This is the only time we're ever at dinner. Maybe I pay for the next 5 days. I don't care. I had a really good time and I'm able to afford that right now. Mm-hmm. Can I do it? And so I hate – so it's definitely – there's so many areas of life now where it feels so weird – for everyone's always wondering, why are you doing that?
It's weird. It's kind of like chicken and egg at this point because it's like, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, why do we have to assume everything's manipulative? But then you're like, because a lot of times it is manipulative. Mm-hmm. Like these men are being trained. We know that there's like coffee dates are for people you're not clear on. Don't mm-hmm. buy her dinner unless you know she's someone you're interested in. Like it is mm-hmm. manipulative. So like sometimes you do have, it's just, the whole system is so messed up. I hate that you have to literally, and this can be true for so many social interactions. You have to sit there and be mm-hmm. like, what does this person want? Are they like, mm-hmm. are they being honest? I hate that that's where we're at. And like dating, like a part of it is, I think, normalizing and promoting manipulative behaviors as forms of dating, I think right. is a huge problem because now it is perfectly okay. Like seemingly because they're giving this advice to like lie to women, mm-hmm. to manipulate them, to do like if you do A, B, and C, she'll sleep with you. So like even these interactions aren't real because they're based off of a template that's been given to them by mm-hmm. some bro online. And so it's like, mm-hmm. it's really sad that like we're losing like genuine connections with people and like people can't trust it anymore. If we stopped mainstreaming and accepting that it's cool to manipulate and lie to women, because you see mm-hmm. that more from like bro dating advice people than you do from like right. women, in my opinion, online. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, how about we start calling that shit out more and addressing mm-hmm. why that's bad so that maybe we could change that so that you wouldn't have to fucking assume anything a guy does, he's trying to trick mm-hmm. you. Because how mm-hmm. often is he trying to trick you? That's what I guess I just hope we could get to that point. Because it sucks that people have to question everything they do. Like, people have to go, mm-hmm. oh, my God, he's taking me to this restaurant. I guess because that means I'm only mildly someone he's attracted to.
Right.
It's better than coffee, but it's not Nobu. Like, it's wild mm-hmm. to me that people have to think about that shit.
Ugh. Yeah. And short, I think neither of us are envious of people that are in today's modern dating scene.
No.
I think,
yeah, no, I can't.
This is not something – I remember – this last point, I think, no way, I guess we have to close up. But mm-hmm. early on when my wife and I were our marriage, we got in a big fight. In hindsight, it was not a big fight, but it felt like at the time, like it was mm-hmm. our biggest fight we'd had yet. And mm-hmm. I think it was the first time we both came to terms with the idea, like, is this going to are we going to stay sure. together? Like, it's too long to get into the depths of it. It was such a dumb argument.
Don't get into it.
I'm not going to. But it was like, I remember at the time, and I remember my first thought was like, I don't want to be single again. And that was before I was like, I don't want to go. I didn't ever. I'm just gonna be single forever at this point. I don't want to go through the whole process of finding, you know, the person that I love. Anyway, so long story short, we feel any of you that are single listeners, my condolences.
I truly though, because at least it used to be people got shit advice from like fucking Brad, like Brad from the football team is giving bad advice to you in high school, you know, that shitty guy from your frat gives bad advice, whatever. But now it's so mainstream to be pumped, like horrible, shitty advice, sexist advice, like with no nuance. And it's brutal because you have to fight against like all of that. Whereas before, like it was definitely going on, but it wasn't like you were inundated with it. And like, you know, online, whatever you engage with is what you see. Where like in the real world, you're seeing multiple people giving you multiple advice. Right. The real world implication of this would be you would run into the same bro over and over. Like, hey, guy, let me tell you something about women. Mm-hmm. Like that would be the only person you would be talking to. That's what algorithms have done, is put like put you in a room with just those like ideas. With
the shittiest guy you knew growing up.
Telling you how much women suck and how you can manipulate them, you know? So it's like, it's scary. And so there's so much you have to combat and think about. So it's like, I totally see why we have rules. I see why women would not want to do coffee dates. I see why women would want to do coffee dates. But I wish we could speak to these things with more nuance and call out more of this quote unquote advice from these men and these dating coaches, 100%. Because it is very problematic, black and white. And the nuance that it lacks can lead to bad situations for people when dating. So
absolutely.
That's that. Well,
that's that.
I think that's what we have to say about that.
We solved the dating crisis.
Two You're welcome, married everybody. People.
Long-term married people.
One gay person is definitely going to tell women and men how to date.
An autistic man and a lesbian.
Now that I think of it, why don't listen to us?
Like, I think we have valid points.
I think we have valid points. So, like, if anyone, I guarantee you, if anyone followed our exact paths, it would not end in dating.
No, it would probably, I think but I do think it's important for another perspective. The point is, listen to everybody and accept some people know. But like,
listen to the bros, dating bros.
Take everything with a grain of salt, including what we say.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Find the nuance, okay?
I'm always right. Shut up.
Okay, friends, thank you for listening. As always, make sure to check out our Patreon, check out our socials, and other than that, friends, we will see you next time.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.